Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Tuesday Night Boxing Show on The Grueling Truth. As always, I'm your host, Mike Goodpaster, and let me welcome in again, as always, my co-host on The Boxing Show, Joe Rodriguez.
Hey, Mike, I'm ready to argue with you.
There's no reason to argue. We know I'll be right, so you might as well just submit. Let's see. But we were going to have a guest tonight, but Joe likes to hear himself talk, and he likes to listen to himself and have all his friends listen, so we figured we'd do a show where we would debate something so he could, you know, get a little bit more attention. Isn't that right, Joe?
That's true. I actually play the shows back over and over again in a loop, in a nonstop loop, so I could just hear myself, and I actually edit you out just so I could hear myself.
I know you do that, but our topic tonight was picked by Joseph Rodriguez, who wanted to do the top 10 boxing movies of all time. So, you want to start us off with your number 10?
Yes. First of all, I like talking about this because so many actors look horrible playing athletes. And I think we have a pretty good list here. I know some of the movies on your list, as you know mine. I think we have a pretty good list of the movies here. So, I'll start. For me, number 10, Cinderella Man. I like the movie. I really like Russell Crowe a lot. It was a little corny, which is why it's not higher on my top 10 list. And also the misrepresentation, the gross misrepresentation of Max Baer. Max Baer, by all accounts, was a real gentleman in and out of the ring. So that's why it could have been higher, but those are the reasons why it was number 10 for me.
Well, I've got it a lot higher than that. I love the movie. I didn't like the misrepresentation of Max Baer, but I would guess almost. And I just got a message on Twitter from Dave Sidersky, who said I needed to quit picking on Joe. So I don't know when you guys became
best friends,
but you know, Dave can't talk
tonight
because he had oral surgery today. So he's always got an excuse not to be on the show, though. But I would like to thank Dave for listening also. But with the Cinderella Man, I didn't like the Max Baer thing. But, I mean, the overall story, I think, is great. I mean, I've read a couple different biographies, autobiographies of James Braddock. And, I mean, his story is really amazing, especially the part where, you know, after getting the public assistance, when he starts winning fights, he actually goes back and pays the money back. You know, nobody would do that nowadays, and probably very few did it back then, but it was a different time. And when you watch it, him almost losing his kids because of the Great Depression, you know, the stuff he went through with his wife who was worried about him getting hurt, I think the movie should be a lot higher, but I'll bring that up later when we get to that. My number 10 movie was The Setup, which was in 1949, starred Robert Ryan as Bull Thompson. He was a washed-up boxer who refused to hang his gloves up, which, I mean, heck, that's almost a true story about every boxer, but the only person you think when you start watching the movie that believes in him was played by George Tobias, who did a great job playing Tiny in that movie. The movie was played out in real time, so it's a little over an hour, which is good because I'm getting older, and any movie over like an hour and a half, anyway, I fall asleep anymore. So when I watched it in the middle of the night, black and white TV, it was 72 minutes long, and usually the black and white turns me off, you know, I'm more modern. I'm still wondering if everything before 1970 was actually in black and white and there was no color, but that's another argument. But I think it was a really good movie. And like I said, it was made in 1949, but don't let that scare you away. Have you ever seen the movie, Joe?
You know, frankly, I have not, but Robert Ryan was a terrific actor, and Robert Wise was a very fine director, and he also directed another movie in this list. I'm wondering if Robert Wise was a boxing fan.
Yeah, it must have been. Either that or he just liked the money from boxing movies. You never know.
That's true.
My number 9 was The Great White Hope. It starred a great actor, James Earl Jones, a great actress, Jane Alexander. It was based on a Broadway play that I believe James Earl Jones even starred in the Broadway play, but it's a fictionalized character study of the first black heavyweight champion, Jack Johnson. And it shows how Johnson becomes involved with a white woman and a couple is faced with blistering racism from sports and society. And I just think the movie in itself was not that great. But I think James Earl Jones was so good in it. I mean, he's over the top. I mean, he goes from rage to unrestricted joy, and I think it was just, I think it was a great enough performance by the actor alone to warrant a top 10 on my list.
Another movie I've seen it, but you know, it wasn't memorable to me, so I don't remember. I guess the movie didn't resonate with me because I know James Earl Jones is terrific, and Jane Alexander, very underrated actress, she's really wonderful. My number 9 movie is Requiem for a Heavyweight. Really sad story, written by Rod Serling of Twilight Zone fame, with the movie version starred Anthony Quinn. And that movie was made off a television movie. Playhouse 90 was an old television series in the 50s and 60s where they would play it out live for a live audience. Anthony Quinn was in the movie, as was Jackie Gleason and Mickey Rooney, if I remember correctly. And anyone who hasn't seen the movie, you should take a look at the beginning of the movie because Martin Rivera, played by Anthony Quinn, the washed-up fighter, gets beaten in a fight by a guy you may recognize. So I won't give it away. So go see Requiem for a Heavyweight or watch it on YouTube or something and see if you recognize the fighter. I'm sure you will, who beats Anthony Quinn at the beginning of the movie. That's my number 9.
Yeah, I've got the movie higher, and I think the opening scene was, I mean, especially for a boxing scene, was way ahead of its time. Because, I mean, most boxing movies back then, heck, the guys were missing each other by 3 feet but getting knocked down. But I've got that movie a lot higher. We'll talk about it a little bit more in a little bit, but... my number 8 is When We Were Kings. I debated on whether to have a documentary in it or not. But, I mean, the account of the rumble in the jungle between Ollie Foreman is, I think, the finest boxing documentary ever made. The film even won an Oscar, I think it was in 1996 or 97. It took 22 years to be released because of basically political strings being tied up by the government over there. And the other thing was you get to see the inner workings of a young promoter named Don King. I mean, to me, it was a really fascinating film.
I didn't include it on my list because it was a documentary. And maybe, I guess, the technicality. Yeah, When We Were Kings was tremendous. Tremendous. But that's the only reason why I didn't include it on my list. I'm very snooty. My list is very snooty.
Yes, you are a very snooty person, too. I mean...
I am, as evidenced by my liking to hear myself talk, and I edited you out of the broadcast. My number 8 movie...
Plus the fact that, you know, I mean, people probably don't know this about you, Joe, but do you want to tell everybody what you majored in college?
I was a theater major. I fancied myself being an actor one day, and I quickly gave that up when I saw that being rejected 95% of the time was part of the game. So I said, I think I need to do something else.
Do you think maybe you got rejected 95% of the time because you used the word fancy in sentences?
I did, and that and the fact that I was so tremendous, people were afraid of my talent. I'm lying, of course. Now, rejection is a big bear to deal with, and I remember at the time I could not, so I knew I had to do something else.
Well,
please don't bring up bad
eight?
Memories, Mike.
Number eight? Get to it.
Number 8 for me is Rocky Balboa, which is a surprising pick for me. As I was going through my list of movies, I could not get Rocky Balboa out of my mind. It was, to me, other than Rocky 1, as good, well, it was so much better than 3, 4, and 5. I mean, it wasn't even close. And it was a terrific movie. If none of the Rockies were ever made, Rocky Balboa would have been tremendous on its own. Really very moving. And Stallone shows he can still make a good film when he wants to.
What's your number 7? We'll let you keep talking so you don't have to edit as much.
Well, what's your number 8?
I already told you, When We Were Kings. I started off there.
Oh, sorry. I have old-timers. Ready, number 7. Number 7 for me was The Harder They Fall. It was... It's notable for being Humphrey Bogart's last movie, but for me, it's even more notable for being a movie based on the corruption behind boxing, and they based it on Primo Carnera. Primo Carnera was brought up the heavyweight ranks through mob connections, and he really couldn't fight, and they left him penniless at the end. If anyone hasn't seen the movie, The Harder They Fall is really a terrific film.
And I haven't seen the movie. Well, I think I saw the movie when I was younger, but I don't. It doesn't really stick out to me. So I'm going to watch it again, though, just because you suggested it, and you are a film expert. Because you are my editor for my boxing, you know, my boxing articles and my football articles on SportsRant. And every once in a while, Joe will throw in a word where I don't even know what the hell it is, because I majored in, you know, getting drunk chasing girls in college. And and remember this, boys and girls out there with your parents telling you about your grades. I host a show. Joe co-hosts a show. So
there's rejection again.
But my number 7 is somebody up there likes me. I mean, James Dean was originally set to portray Rocky Graziano, but you know, he died before filming, which paved the way for a young Paul Newman to be cast and A Star Was Born. It's beautiful black and white, and as my editor, Joe Rodriguez, the theater major, said, it's in film noir style, which when I saw that, I thought maybe they made it in Norway, but I wasn't sure. It was also a solid direction from, once again, as you said, Robert Wise, who was the editor of Citizen Kane. And also, it had the uncredited debuts, which I didn't realize until I was writing the story and I saw it, and then I watched the movie actually the other day, but George C. Scott and Steve McQueen were both in the movie also. But my number 6... Well, you're just going to interrupt me. All right. You love what?
I'm
go ahead.
Sorry.
You're
I
always interrupting.
Like,
I mean, we have these discussions all the time when we talk on the phone where I'll be talking and Joe will just blindly interrupt me. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, it's because I'll forget what I'm going to say if I don't interrupt you. Go ahead.
Now you know what it feels like. But I'm sure you've got somebody up there likes me coming up pretty soon anyways.
I do. It's one of my favorite films regardless of, you know, not just boxing, but any film. Go ahead.
Well, it had that film noir, though, so that's what made it so good.
Yes.
My number 6 you already listed, which was Requiem for a Heavyweight. Like I said, Luis Mount Rivera at the start of it, getting his butt kicked. I mean, the movie, like, is once again, it's a movie that could, you know, apply to probably 70% of the boxers that ever lived. I mean, you take a... Like I said, you need to watch the movie, as Joe said. You know, Mount Rivera fights a guy that's very famous in the first scene. And like I said, the movie still, to me, is stunning and ahead of its time.
I agree. You preach to the choir in that one. Okay, number 6 is an unusual choice. This may be may cause controversy, may cause riots in the streets. My number 6 film is On the Waterfront. What makes it unique is that there are no
movie.
Boxing scenes.
Not a boxing
well,
movie. It can't
no
be a boxing movie with no boxing in it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It's Brando's portrayal of a fighter is as good as anyone I've ever seen, which is why I included it on my list. He portrays a fighter, and his portrayal was unbelievable. If you watch every little nuanced move he makes throughout the movie, I guess this is where my acting comes in, my acting training comes in. His performance was just tremendous, and he looked like a fighter, he moved like a fighter, he talked like a fighter. Even though there are no fight scenes in it, he looked like a fighter to me all the way, which is why I'm including it as number 6 on my list.
Yeah, well, I don't know how he could look more like a fighter than anybody else if he doesn't fight in a movie.
Believe me, his walking down the street looked more like a fighter than some other guys who put gloves on in movies.
Okay. All right, we'll go with it. My number 5 was Rocky Balboa, just like you. I loved this movie. I loved all the Rocky movies. I even loved Rocky 5 and Rocky 4, which was basically just a music video. And I know you loved Rocky 4 for that last scene where Rocky just stands in front of all the Russians and says love. but I know
I love
always talk about
that scene because it was so realistic. That was one of the most realistic moments in film history.
But I think the Rocky Balboa was a movie that was more like the original than any of the other sequels, even Rocky II. And like I said, it's a boxing movie that the highlight of the boxing movie to me, the highlight of the film weren't the fight scenes, even though they were good, but the scene where Rocky gave the speech about life to his son. You know, I think it was a very poignant movie that brought the Rocky character full circle. But what's your number five?
I agree with Balboa, by the way. It was very moving. My number five.
But you had it number eight, so we didn't really agree because you didn't think it was as good as I did.
Top ten is good. I have The Fighter at number five. I really enjoyed the movie, and I thought I really loved Christian Bale's portrayal as a fighter, a drug-addicted fighter, was really terrific. I love the relationship with the brothers. I love the down-and-out area that they lived in. I like the relationship with their families and everything. And the fight scenes were pretty good, too. I know what you're going to say, so I do like The Fighter a lot, and I have The Fighter at number five.
I would like The Fighter if they had a fighter, too. And really, I didn't like The Fighter that much. I mean, it was just about some drug-addicted dude. And to me, I wanted to watch about Mickey Ward, and a Mickey Ward movie without Arturo Gatti was like making a Muhammad Ali movie and not mentioning Joe Frazier. On a poor man's scale, but I just don't see how you can make a movie and not end it with the Gatti fights.
Fair point.
Okay, so you paused for like 10 seconds to say fair point. All right. Oh, you were being dramatic, weren't you? I see it now.
Yes. A dramatic pause.
What's your number four?
My number four is, as you mentioned, Somebody Up There Likes Me. The film noir that I mentioned, in case anyone doesn't know, and I apologize if you already knew, film noir was a style in the 40s and 50s with the black and white films with the heavy, heavy shadows. And that film was a perfect example of film noir. It really, the shadows and the scenes and filmed right in the streets, it was almost like another character in the movie because you see guys popping out of the shadows, people walking in and out. Remember before Graziano's big fight, he was restless, he couldn't sleep, he was just walking in the streets, and he ordered like a milkshake or an egg cream, and it was the night before the fight. I just love that. I just love that style. And we talked about Robert Wise. Robert Wise not only did the first movie you mentioned, and he did this one. Robert Wise also did, shows you how diverse he was. He did West Side Story and did The Sound of Music. So those are totally different films. So Robert Wise, just giving Robert Wise a little credit there. He was a tremendous director. I love Somebody Up There Likes Me, and I love Newman's portrayal of Rocky Graziano.
Well, my number four was Cinderella Man. Like I said, I didn't like the Max Baer portrayal, but I think it's one of director Ron Howard's best movies. Stars Russell Crowe, who clearly put a lot of time and effort into his role of former heavyweight champion James J. Braddock. I mean, if you watch old films of Braddock, his style was almost exact to Braddock. I mean, I think that the script was occasionally schmaltzy. His portrait of this champion amid the depredations of the Great Depression was spot on, though. And to see a man pull himself up out of poverty to do everything he could to take care of his family, and then to overcome seemingly insurmountable odds to become the heavyweight champion of the world is almost too difficult to believe, but it was all true. I mean, like we said, my only problem with the movie was the portrayal of former heavyweight champion Max Baer. Like you said, he was a true gentleman in and out of the ring. I mean, my only problem with the movie was it could have been a great movie without the portrayal of Baer as an evil man. And then also,
agreed.
My other problem with the portrayal of the movie was this. I've got the fight on a DVD, and when you watch the fight, it was nowhere near as exciting as they made it look.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was an all right fight, but, I mean, it was better than Floyd Mayweather fighting, you know, Manny Pacquiao, but, I mean, watching two drunk midgets in an alley box would be more exciting than that. At least there'd be somebody getting hit, probably.
Uh, I hope we don't lose our a part of our audience there because of
I know because I just got three texts from angry drunk midgets, and now you know that's gonna kill us.
Oh goodness! Oh my goodness!
All right, recover from this now, Joe. Say something intelligent.
All right, number three. Let's get off that subject.
All right, my number is. I'm going to give you my number three first because we've been going back to back. So, my number three is Million Dollar Baby. And as you said with the Requiem for a Heavyweight, you didn't want to give anything away. If you haven't seen Million Dollar Baby, it's hard to talk about the movie without giving away some of the surprises. But I think it's by far one of the best boxing movies ever. And suffice it to say, what starts out looking like yet another triumph of the underdog tale turns into something completely different, taking an enormous moral weight that ultimately lands with the force of a knockout punch. And, I mean, I think the director was Clint Eastwood. And, okay, Dave Sidersky just, I mean, texted me, and he said that we should use vertically challenged from now on.
Okay, that's Dave is on the money.
Yeah, vertically challenged.
Dave is absolutely
right. But vertically challenged isn't near as funny. It's just not, do you think?
I have no comment. Let's keep talking about Million Dollar Baby.
All right, but I was on the vertically challenged. But and we'll start a GoFundMe page for him. They'll forgive us. But Million Dollar Baby, a director, I mean, Clint Eastwood directed and acted in it. Clint Eastwood is one of the great actors of all time because he was in Every Which Way But Loose, and that orangutan was funny as hell. But,
oh, my goodness.
Well, it was. All right. That person with a lot of hair. All right. What's your opinion of Million Dollar Baby? What do you got, number three?
Number three, for the first time, you show you had half a brain because I also have Million Dollar Baby. Million Dollar Baby.
Really, I had half a brain.
One of the-
Dave says that I pick on you, but to me, I don't ever say that you have half a brain.
See, because you're more overt. My insults are very subtle. Some people get them.
See, I don't even know what overt
you're right
means.
Out there. Look
Avert was a band back there. Wasn't that a group in the 80s? They had a few songs. No, that
no.
was Lovert.
Overt. Fine. Overt.
I know.
Hope I'm using
I'm
it correctly.
Using
yes, I
okay,
did use
good.
It correctly.
Talk about Million
Dollar
yes.
Baby. Million Dollar Baby is as moving a film as I've ever seen. Again, as you mentioned, don't want to give it away for the audience. If you haven't seen it, highly, highly recommend it. You don't even have to like boxing to enjoy this movie because the theme, boxing is in and around the movie, but the theme is universal. So that's all I can say. Very moving, great performances. Maybe Eastwood's greatest directed film, with the possible exception of Unforgiven, in my opinion. Very, very moving. Highly recommend
like
it if you haven't seen it.
I thought Unforgiven was kind of, it was too long. I fell asleep. I can't watch it.
Unforgiven is the greatest Western ever made. We could talk movies. We could have another show just about movies.
The greatest Western ever made would have to include
yes.
John Wayne.
No. But, no. Don't get me started on John Wayne.
That's why
okay,
I did. We're all the way up to almost number two. We still got like 20 minutes left, so we got to fill some time with something.
Well, I have other things we can talk about boxing related. What's number two for you?
Raging Bull. Martin Scorsese's 1980 masterpiece should have won the Academy Award, but ordinary people did, which I know you agree with because you love boring movies. But few movies have better explored the underlying reasons of why someone would make such sacrifice to excel physically and the toll it takes on those around them. I mean, this is one of the few movies that you like, but you actually hate the main character. I mean, Jake LaMotta, if you watch this movie, was not a very good person. And Robert De Niro, once again, like Russell Crowe, one of the best jobs of an actor becoming a boxer you'll ever see. And the other thing that people don't realize in the movie, he was the young Jake LaMotta and the old Jake LaMotta. So, I mean, he was going from gaining weight to losing weight and everything else for the role. But I think the fact that you find yourself despising the main character at the end is one of the qualities that ultimately makes this a great film.
I'll go one step further. I think that De Niro's portrayal of LaMotta is the best portrayal of a fighter by an actor in any film I've ever seen. And the only one that comes close is Brando. Other than that, I don't think there's anyone's close. And that includes Russell Crowe.
What boxing movie was Brando in? Did I miss one?
Well, he portrayed a fighter in On the Waterfront.
Okay.
But De Niro's portrayal of a fighter was better. Well,
I think Russell Crowe looked better in the ring than Brando did. I don't know about you, but...
Raging Bull, I'll talk a little bit more about Raging Bull. I guess I'm giving it away. Raging Bull.
Well,
you
can't have Raging Bull higher than number two.
Well, I do. So let's keep talking.
Well, I guess you don't even have half a brain, but I've got half a brain. What's your number two?
My number two is Rocky. Here's what separates Rocky from the rest. I mean, it caught everyone by surprise. As you mentioned in your article, the movie's been copied so much, people who didn't watch it when it first came out, they may look at Rocky now and think it's corny. But this is the one that set the tone. This is the movie that so many people have copied over the years, and it had everything. And the boxing actually was secondary. It was about redemption. It's about making something of your life. It's about finding love and finding something worthwhile to live for. For me, that's what the movie's about. It's uplifting. It's inspiring. It was entertaining as hell. I actually watched it in the movie a week after it came out, before it caught fire. I kid you not, there were less than 20 people in the theater. People were screaming like it was a real fight. It was one of the best times I ever had going to see a movie. Rocky was just a tremendous film, and I could watch it over and over again and never get tired of it.
But yet you think something else is number one.
Correct? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, right now, before we get to that, it's 11:27, and it's 68 degrees outside now. I just always wanted to do that. I was going to introduce a song, and Joe was going to play the music, but we've got about 2 minutes, 55 seconds left of the live show. As always, there'll be another 15 minutes of archive time. You can follow us on the Grilling Crew Facebook page to get that. You can go to Blog Talk Radio and find it, or we're now on Spreaker, which you just go in Spreaker, search The Grueling Truth, or my name, Mike Goodpaster. What's your number one, Joe?
My number one is Raging Bull. Here's what separates Raging Bull for me from Rocky. The fight scenes in Raging Bull were much more realistic. De Niro's portrayal of a fighter was much more realistic than Stallone's. I thought Stallone was good. I thought De Niro was the best. Also, I like the grittiness. I like the fact that it's in black and white. The music, which is a tough one. The music in Rocky was terrific. The music in Raging Bull was great as well. The performances, it was very, very funny as well. I had really funny moments. And De Niro played a despicable character, which was true. Jake LaMotta himself said it after he watched the movie. He was ashamed of himself with all the things that he did in his life, and he admitted that De Niro's portrayal was on the money. By far the best portrayal of a fight I've ever seen by any actor, and a really gritty movie, which is why I have it as my number one.
Number one to me, of course, is Rocky, and all right-thinking Americans believe that. I mean, Rocky was a movie that was so damn good that the guy who wrote it starred in it is in the Boxing Hall of Fame. I mean, what else could you say? He's never boxed a day in his life, but they put him in the International Boxing Hall of Fame. If you look at it, the boxing boom of the probably late 70s can be contributed directly to Rocky and the 1976 Olympic boxing team. And I just think that it's really hard to overlook somebody that actually, through a movie, has a huge impact on the sport. Where I believe a movie like Raging Bull, if a non-boxing person watches Raging Bull, I believe they come away thinking less of boxing, and it actually hurts boxing more than it helps it.
I can't argue any of those points, but I'm just talking about the film itself. What you're saying is absolutely right, impact and all that. I'm talking about the film.
Yeah, so am I. So we'll just agree that I was right. But remember, the live show will end in 7 seconds, and it'll be archive time after that. The one thing that we've done, and Dave Sadursky just checked in and agreed with me that I was right and Joe was wrong, because he's got him number one also. The one thing we have done with The Grilling Truth is we've moved to Spreaker now. So if you go to Spreaker, it gives us a lot more listeners. So you can catch us on Spreaker by just going in, like I said, putting in The Grilling Truth in the search, or my name, Mike Goodpaster, in the search. And I mean, basically, that's the show for tonight. Because I think Joe Rod's phone got disconnected. I think there's a storm. He told me there was a lightning storm out there, and he might lose power. I'm going to give him a minute here to see if he can get through. If not, we'll go ahead and end it. But we will have, as always, a Thursday night boxing show, or Thursday night football show, NFL show. We'll have a special guest yet. We're going to announce that probably tomorrow. And remember to check in. We've got a show now with my football co-host, Matt Andrew Scavage. And that is every Monday night. We've got a 49ers Weekly. He's a San Francisco 49ers fan. If you want to check out the podcast of the episode last night, it included Dexter Carter and Dennis Brown. So, Thursday night, remember, we will have the football show. Next Tuesday night, me and Joe Rodriguez will be back with our normal boxing show. So, remember, next week, listen to The Grueling Truth, Thursday night, Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.